crazy, cause I want you, baby. But you don't, so get out, get out, get out, get out.
Hey!
That sounds so fake.
What the fuck just, that was the worst opening.
It sounds horrible this time.
We just yelled. Quickman, first of all, hi everyone.
Hi.
Hello. This is Date Fails. I'm Kate Quigley.
I'm somebody.
He's Stephen Kramer Glickman. Yeah. He is fucked up right now.
Yeah, man. I had oral surgery an hour ago in Beverly Hills because I'm classy. Hey, guess what? Here's something interesting to know. If you have oral surgery in Beverly Hills or you have oral surgery in the ghetto, guess what the big difference is? Fucking nothing.
Can you just stop calling it oral surgery? It sounds just fucking gross.
Dicks were in my mouth.
Yeah, I don't like you calling it oral surgery. Can we just say he went to the dentist drilled surgery?
I went to a dental surgeon.
Okay.
It was way more expensive than a dentist.
Well, and then,
and then they did a bone graft on my jaw.
Oh, wait, hold on. Can I just tell you, this is a classic Glickman story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're podcasting today. It's 1 p.m. right now. We're podcasting from 12 to 3 today. Glickman calls me at 10 a.m., 3 hours ago. And then he goes, Kate, hey, I just wanted to let you know what the situation is today. And I'm like, oh, shit. Now what's happening? And Glickman goes, well, I'm on my way to the dentist right now and I'm having surgery and they're going to have to do like a graft to my jaw, but I should be fine to go by noon. I'm going to be there. I'm like, you're having fucking surgery in 1 hour and you're telling me in 2 hours you're going to be, he's like, I'm going to be fine. They're going to give me drugs. I'm going to show up.
Nothing is going to get away. Nothing is taking me away from this podcast that doesn't pay anything.
It's true. And he's here. He's high
important.
Out of his mind, but he showed up. I got to give you props, Glickman. You're a trooper, man. Mm. I would be at home on that, up on those drugs.
I just, you know what? I just know it's either me at home playing video games sleeping and eating Jell-O pudding and doing my Bill Cosby impression, or being here and eating Jell-O pudding and doing my Bill Cosby impression.
I'm really glad you're here.
How many ladies does it take?
Christ.
Turns out 55.
This might be the last episode of Date Fails you ever hear.
It's a possibility.
Oh, God. Well, I'm happy you're here and you're okay.
How amazing is that? That's like all that shit. You see him stumbling into the courtroom. You see him paying out all this money. You see he's going to fucking end up probably getting some sort of sentence at some point or just some fine. Oh my God. Something's going
to
happen.
He's going to go to jail.
I don't know. But you know what? The people that care about Bill Cosby, the people that are like, I love Bill Rudy, you know,
those people, they're
fucking gone. Those people are gone. They're old. They're like our parents.
I care.
Yeah, not enough. Not enough that you'd excuse a guy.
Well, you can't excuse a guy for like raping a bunch of girls, but
right.
I would still love to have coffee with him just one time.
Matthew Broderick.
I really would.
With a lid on the
mouth. Can we introduce?
Yeah,
we need to introduce
say.
Our guest because she's going to be she should be interjecting.
All right. Our guest today is stand-up comedian Deborah DiGiovanni.
Hello.
Who I am such a fucking massive huge fan of.
I am too. Okay. You're so fucking funny.
Thanks, guys.
We've known each other for quite
a long time.
I believe we did last comic standing on the same, season?
I want to say 2007.
Who won the season?
7 or 8?
Who won it?
Who won my season? John Reap.
Yeah, we were on.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, yeah.
You and me actually did the Hollywood Showcase together.
Yes.
We made it to the finals on the Hollywood Showcase.
Where was the Hollywood Showcase? Was it here? No.
It was here. At the Hollywood Improv.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
And
yeah.
It was you and me.
Years.
It was Kathleen Madigan was the judge.
Kathleen Madigan. And you know who else was? Alonzo. That's what I was going to say. Oh, my God. Ant. Is he still around?
He's alive.
That's enough. Enough said right there.
That's
there
enough. Everything else is, you know, up in the air.
When was this? How many years ago was
that
this?
That was 2007.
2007.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. We were spring chickens.
Time flies.
Lovely. Yeah.
You live in New York now, right?
No, I live here, but I'm from Toronto. I'm East Coast. Yeah.
I don't know why. I thought you just travel a lot.
I do.
You gig a lot.
Well, that's the thing. Canada pays me.
You're
so I go home to Canada and collect
Canada
money.
From?
I'm from Toronto.
I'm from London, Ontario.
Stop it.
Shut up.
We are basically related.
I grew up in Tilsonburg.
I have no idea where
Tilsonburg is 30 minutes outside of London, and it's
really?
You should never go there, of course.
No,
never.
I've been to London.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Stop. That's so funny. Yeah.
My whole family's from Côte-Saint-Luc in Montreal.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a Quebecer. I was born in Pointe Claire.
What?
Yes.
I know where Pointe Claire
Stop
is.
Stop it.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know you were Canadian.
I know.
I still have a green card.
That's crazy.
But are you I guess you're both like dual citizen?
I'm not. I'm just a green card carrying.
What? You're not an American? Citizen?
No, I was going to be when Obama got elected.
Uh-huh.
I said if we get a black president,
uh-huh.
I'm going to
Suck
become. I said I'm going to become a U.S. citizen because how cool is that? Black
yeah.
president. That's so
you
amazing.
Should.
And then he
wow.
became the president. And then about a year later, I was like,
dude, you
so
should totally do that. I mean, I'm sure it's a
Why,
lot of work.
Why become an American?
Just so you have both. It just seems it just seems easier than the green card situation.
I don't know.
Wouldn't it be easier to just be a citizen?
No, I mean I love America. I love America.
I'm not like
there's lots
a crazy
of great things,
patriot.
But just, you know, Canada is. It's nice to know that you've got like a little secret hideaway. That
yeah, it's true.
Like,
it's like you go home to die in Canada, kind of thing.
Dude,
yeah.
Yeah.
You wait.
You go home to die. There.
That's where you go.
It's like Florida.
Retire. Yes. Retire.
Could.
Yeah,
I could
yeah,
die
yeah.
out there.
Look at that small world, though. Love that.
How cool
yeah,
is that?
Kinda,
yeah.
I
so you're
that.
Super, super funny.
Thank you.
Do you tour most of the time, or where are you at most of the time?
Well, you know. I do tour a lot. It's not, not opened up yet so much in the States for me yet, hopefully. Cause I mean, I've been doing comedy a long time. Like this is my 16th year I'm starting.
Wow.
So, but I mean, God bless you, Canada. I love Canada, but it's hard because, you know, you spend a lot of, like, I should have moved to LA years ago because you spend so much time in Canada and, it makes you into a great comedian and you get all the, you know, you get all the work done, but then you really have to start over because we don't, it doesn't bridge as much. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that, like the crossover between Canada and the state. We know everything about you, but coming here is really like coming from, you know, it doesn't matter. Even though like we're upstairs, it doesn't really matter. So it's really starting over for me,
wow.
which is fine. Because it's not like I'm getting younger or anything, so that'll be fine. That'll be fine.
You're
okay.
So funny, though.
Thank you. Thank
I forget what
you.
Show
Thank
I was on here.
We did. We were here.
Here at the
yes,
Hollywood
absolutely.
Improv. Yep. Yeah, and she
well,
just crushed it.
I enjoy myself.
Who? Where do you feel like you've got the most support as far as comedy clubs are concerned?
Well, and I know that we're here and stuff, but the improv is very good to me. They're very good. And I also, it's the other two I can't crack for some reason. I just...
The Factory, you mean
yeah,
the store?
Yeah, I can't crack them, but I'm lucky because I get some of the fun shows. You
are
know
you
what I mean?
Wait? Are you a regular at the Hollywood Laugh Factory though? Like,
no,
I mean, can you, I should get you. I'm gonna,
that
we're
would,
gonna,
yeah.
we're gonna,
I,
we're
yeah,
gonna talk about it.
We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of and you know and again it's okay. I get starting over. You know what I mean? That's fine. It's good for me. Humility is good. Little humbling is good. It's not fun, but it's I think it's necessary. You know?
What else is good too is like this show. Her and me are doing a show together on the 19th.
The
of
nighttime
show. Yeah, we're doing nighttime show. And it's like shows like that can be very helpful, especially when you just move here
yes.
to do stuff where the other comics, it's like all those people run in circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Ben Glebe's on that show.
Yeah.
Randy Litke's on that
show.
Oh, he's
so funny. Oh, my God.
Fucking hilarious.
He's so funny. I met him for the first time at Just for Laughs 2 years ago.
He's so
and,
nice,
oh, my
too.
God. He is just like, I've not seen that kind of comedy before where it's just like, what is he doing? Like, I think
he
it's, he's like, yes, like, what is he doing? And it's brilliant. You just stand back and just let it wash over you.
Do you know him? Do you know
no,
Randy?
I
like,
don't.
He's a tall, chubby guy with
redhead
hair and
yeah.
redhead guy. And he has, this is a true story. He decided to make a cookie in the shape of an iPhone. This is a true story. It's
okay.
not on stage.
Okay.
Just a real true story.
Okay.
Made a cookie in the shape of an iPhone and then decided that he would drive around Los Angeles holding it up to his ear, pretending
to get pulled over.
Get pulled over.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And then
just be like, it's
and
a cookie.
Eat it when
no.
the cop
oh
comes
God.
Up.
I
right?
love him.
And so that's what he did.
Shut up.
And as he was eating it, the cop said, there's a warrant for your arrest.
Oh,
sir.
My God.
For what?
For like some old traffic ticket.
Shut the fuck up.
So they arrested him and put him in jail for the night.
Oh my God.
What?
for like a fucking old ticket.
Dude, because that cop was probably pissed just because he made him look like an idiot.
That's a smart ass ticket.
You know what's great?
Yeah. So funny.
The thing is, now with like social media, the fun pranks you can play on police. Like, I got pulled over. Did you know I got pulled over driving back from Phoenix to LA by a cop while I was periscoping? And I thought he was pulling me over for periscoping. And then it turned out he didn't know my periscope was on. So I get pulled over. The reason he pulled me over was because apparently my registration sticker was expired and I didn't know. And I had like a gigantic crack in my windshield. The guy could not have been nicer. And I had the periscope running the whole time. So I just started flirting with him. I was like, are you a fan of comedy? Because I was just in town doing stand-up and I'm coming back. And he was like, oh my God, I love comedy. And he's like, what happened to your windshield? I was like, I don't know, Rocket. I'm not sure. He was like, you should probably fix that. I'm like, totally. And then we just talked for like 5 minutes. And then I gave him my card and was like, you should come to a show next time I'm in town. The guy goes, I have to give you like a warning ticket because your registration is expired. But if you don't like fix it, this is a fix it ticket. Nothing will ever happen to you because you're from out of state. He's like, but I have to do it. So he gives it to me and he's like, I'm so sorry to bother you. I'm like, no problem. I had it all on Periscope. It's the funniest shit ever. So he laughed. And then of course everyone was dying because it's just so different when a girl gets pulled over than when a guy gets, like, this guy was literally like, it's so nice to meet you. I'm sorry to trouble you.
But she's also forgetting what she looks like. This is what she's saying. Yeah.
But even if, well, okay. Right. But I did have a guy with me. Eric Myers was in the car with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was with me in the car. So, I mean, like,
good deal.
Yeah, it was actually pretty hilarious.
They probably How many hits did it get?
Thought he was like your toothbrush.
It got a lot. It got like 5,000 views or something like that. Yeah.
There we go. You should let him know.
That guy is so funny.
Eric is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
We just did a show together here at the Improv.
Who does he remind me of? That voice is just, there's something about the way his pattern of speech that it's just
his onstage persona is so brilliant. Different from like his offstage persona, isn't it?
I always
so
like that though.
Yeah,
like when a comic, you're like, that's not you. And I think that's fun when they're just like so different on stage. I mean, I think we all are, right? It's just multiplied by a million, but I love it when it's like not even close.
I'm so different on my social media. Like, do you find
from stage Kate kind of thing?
Well, I think my social media and my stage persona are similar, but my real persona is so different. And I was just talking about this with a comic the other day, how much it affects my personal life.
Oh,
because people I meet think that I'm like that person. Yeah, exactly. Especially with dating. I mean, that's why this show happened, because like when I start dating guys, there's always some point where they're disappointed that I'm not that person.
I was just going to say, like, how weird is it? Does it start to get weird now? Because it's like, they don't understand that it's like breaking that fourth wall or whatever it is, right? It's like, this is all jokes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that, like, when you date guys, do you have to block them from your social media, or how do you deal with that?
That's the thing. I think it is strange to keep it separate though now, because it's very, and it's hard to say, because it is work and they don't seem to kind of get that. And it's like, especially I find anytime I've dated someone while I was doing comedy, like, you have to have that conversation. Okay, I'm going to say some things that aren't, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to say some things that aren't necessarily 100% true. They're exaggerated, whatever. You know what I mean? And it's kind of hard, especially when you're getting to know somebody too.
Oh, so
like,
hard.
What is your, like, when would you want someone to come see you do comedy? Someone that you were dating? Like, right? Like, on, like, I don't know how many months. I've never met anyone because of comedy. That tells me something.
But that's different for girls and guys, isn't
it? Yeah, it's true.
Because guys will come off stage and it's like it's a plethora of women that just want to bang them.
Yeah.
And for us, that's probably true also. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I mean, I think guys are intimidated by.
I think so too.
The fact that they know you might.
We're so loud too. It's loud. It's always like. The one screaming on stage, will you be my wife? Rarely happens.
Telling you, that's why lately I've been dating black guys. Because black guys are not intimidated by loud women.
Yeah.
They're not intimidated by loud women. And I've noticed, and this is very, this is not a scientific fact. I think black guys will put up with a lot more crazy. I don't know why. But black guys don't seem to be as tripped out, because like black girls, they will get a little crazy and black dudes are like, she's chilling.
Yes. Are we allowed to say that? Because I think you got something there. You're on to something.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
Less scared, maybe. That's what it is. Less timid, that, less scared.
Yeah, maybe that's... I don't also, know,
the
man.
Like, most of the white girls I know who have problems, it's like, you know, like neuroses. You know, it's just a lot of, like, being neurotic.
But don't you?
I find
that we all, our neuroses always have to be, they're like, seem to be more negative than anything. That's where I always, a stumbling block for me is because, like, you know, part of my... who I am on stage will be, sometimes it's a little sad, it's a little weird, it's a little like, you know, kind of down,
right.
Like a low status rather than high status. And I think that, I always find that to be a problem because it's like, no. If I really hated myself, I wouldn't get on stage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like that kind of, that's sort of a strange thing to explain to people. It's like, no, I'm not sad.
I'm okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm okay. Do you have people come up to you? I had a couple girls at the Laugh Factory come up to me the other night after a show and they were like, we just want to hug you.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. You're going to meet the perfect guy. And I wanted to be like, look,
I know.
Those are jokes. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think no guy will ever date me. Like, they're jokes.
It's just, it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun. You can't be medium on stage. That's what people don't understand. There's no gray on stage.
No,
it's got to be black or white.
Funny about,
right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. You can't. You got to be like
big,
on.
Go big or go home.
Yeah. No. Completely. My manager said it to me the other day, where she like watched some of my footage and she was like, "God, you're so self-deprecating." I love it.
Oh, yeah.
You
like,
have to be.
You have
to
be. I think
I was like,
so too.
What else do you want me to be? I can't. I'm not Brian Callen. I can't walk on stage and stretch.
He's so funny. He's so funny.
And point at my ass and talk about how handsome I am.
High status is really hard. And I think it's hard for the audience. Like when someone comes on stage and it's like, I'm amazing. People in audience, like the general public is like, what? What? You're amazing. I'm scared by you being... They want us to be low status. People, they don't want to admit it. They don't know that they want it, but that's what they want.
Of course. They know. They want to laugh at you. Well, if you can laugh at yourself...
Pain is fine.
They want to see themselves in you.
Yes.
I think so. I mean, I think that's... Going the other way is a very complicated and very hard thing
There's
to do.
There's people who do it
I was
going to
say, people that pull
Callen
it off,
does
gorgeous.
Tosh does it amazing. Jezelneck does it amazing.
He's a perfect example.
Yeah, totally.
There's a comic. Do you know
D'Elia.
Him? Andrew Michon. Do you know him?
Yeah.
He's, very slim, lovely guy with sort of like a European model type. Oh. Do you know? And he takes high status and it's so funny. But, you know, he says that it doesn't always work. You know what I mean? Like some people are like, no, not at all.
No, like we just did a show, me and Fucknuts McGee. What's his name?
That's the medication we talking about.
I think I
right
slept
there.
With him.
Yes, Eric Myers. So Eric Myers
did not
and
sleep
me.
With him.
No, you didn't. So him and I, I'm just kidding. Him and I did a show here at the Improv for 250 football players.
Oh, God.
Where was I?
What?
When?
It was a couple weeks ago. Josh Adam Myers was the host.
I don't care about that. What, what age group of football players?
They're all college guys.
What
they
the fuck?
College football call team.
This friendship is over.
I'm so sorry.
You know that's my favorite breed.
Yeah, but they were like, it was Iowa, the Iowa
so
Hawkeyes.
So
I know, I should have called you. I'm sorry.
Holy shit.
Ohio? Iowa Hawkeyes.
Whatever.
I don't know. They were all playing in the Rose Bowl. I'm sorry.
They were playing in the Rose Bowl. Quick, man.
I'm a bad person.
It's fine.
I'm sorry.
Keep going with your fucked up story.
Well, because I realized when I was about to get on stage, I was like, what am I supposed to talk about? Like, these guys aren't self-deprecating guys. Like, they don't want to hear that kind of stuff. So I tried other stuff. I talked about them. I talked about how big the black players' dicks were and how they're just, how it's enormous, you know, and to keep their girlfriends away from how big the big black guy's dicks. I made like lots of stupid jokes, but it was fine. It was just weird. It was just weird because I was like, oh, I was trying to be a different version of what I like to be on stage.
Oh, I
which
see.
Is just being
that's
my
hard.
Self-deprecating
That doesn't
self.
Usually work for me. I used to do that when I would go into, I used to do the, when I first started getting paid to do stand up, the first club in LA that paid me was the J Spot. Which is like the blackest room. Have you ever done it?
No.
It's like this super, super urban club in like Crenshaw. And they would pay me because I think they just wanted like a cute blonde. I was terrible. I would go in there and like sometimes I'd do okay at best. And they would pay me to come in there. And these black guys, I think that they didn't even know what to do with me. So I started trying to like placate to them. Like, yeah, yeah. I started trying to be like a black comic and do like, hilarious. You know, the black like host thing where I would do like song and dance and like big hacky, like, and it was not working. And then finally one night I went in there, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go up there and do my regular act that I would do at the improv or anywhere and just be myself. And I had the best set I ever had there. It taught me a lesson to not like change who I am for the audience.
I think that's a good point though. When you start getting paid, because your brain starts going, I'm getting paid for this. I have to make sure
I do
that.
Well.
It's like I've been hired for something. Like we, I don't know if like we in Canada, like we'll do like corporates. That's what we call them. And it'll be like, you're hired for a group of accountants and they're having a workshop and you come in and tell jokes at lunch. And it's usually horrible, but it's worse when you're not, when you try to make it like, I'm going to do this specific. You can't because it's just, then, you know, you're just watching the clock and you die. You're going to die anyway, so you might as well die honestly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the minute you start kind of like, I'm going to craft this for them, it's like, no, it's a kiss of death. Kiss of death.
You know, it's the weirdest one I've ever done is in San Diego, a children's theater group.
No.
A children's musical theater company.
Fucking awful.
No, thank you.
In downtown San Diego.
Like children, like single-digit children?
Yeah, like children.
Gross.
Hired me to perform on a gala outdoors. It's an outdoors.
This is your. It couldn't get worse. Are you naked? Is it because if you're naked, then it's worse?
They wanted me in a tuxedo.
Oh my God, even worse than naked.
Okay. And they want me to cold open the show. No music. They want me to go up. They're going to go, ladies and gentlemen, our comedian is here, Steven Glickman. And I go up on stage in front of 600 children and their parents in tuxedos and gowns.
A nightmare.
And I had to like do like 15 minutes, and I've never had a longer 15 minutes I've ever done. I said, but I decided to write jokes about musical theater for them. And so one of the jokes I wrote, which I am still proud of, is I said, hey, I know your theater company just put on a children's production of Rent. Like that's great. Great job, guys.
A children's production of Rent?
Children's production of Rent.
How do you do that? A show's about like living with AIDS.
Everyone's got AIDS. Bunch of kids with AIDS, basically, is what the show is about.
I would see that, though. And I won't lie.
I go, I actually wrote a musical myself. It's called Mortgage. And it's just a musical where a bunch of people are responsible and have jobs.
Good health. Everyone's in good health.
Everyone's in good health.
Sounds great.
That was it. And it got like a pretty good laugh.
Good work.
What about a roast? Like, have you done either of those? Anything?
It's so funny. I've done a celebrity roast at Nerd Melt, the historical roast.
Sure.
But this is just me. I think I've said this on here before, but I don't like doing roasts.
I don't like doing mean jokes.
I like to be a positive person, and there's no part of me that wants to sit around and write mean jokes about someone I barely know. What's the point?
That is, I don't know if it's just me being Canadian or what. I don't want to either. And I've been asked and stuff, and it's just, first of all, I don't really want to be attacked myself away. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I have enough trouble in my life. You know what I mean? But I also, I don't want to. And I know that it's jokes and I know it's ha-ha, but it's just, it's not something that I really have any desire to do. It's just not. And I don't think I could pull it off either because it's the same thing. I'm happy, you know? And I don't think it's going to come off well. I also have trouble too. It's like getting mad on stage also doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
People turn off when I get angry.
That's interesting.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can rant, but like if I'm really, like if someone heckles and I'm really pissed off, the show's over.
Same for me. I have to keep
it light.
Yeah. I think that's a girl thing.
I think it might
be too. The audience doesn't like when girls are too mean.
Yeah.
It's just interesting because I've found that with me as well, that when I smile, I could do the exact same joke on stage. And if I smile and tell it, they laugh.
Different story.
And if I say it with a straight face, they don't laugh.
If I'm actually mad, then it's not going to work. So that's for me. I can't ever get mad. I know that now. It's like, oh, I'll end the show. That's it. It's just done.
Interesting thing about the roast too is I've done a couple rap battles. Like I did the rap battle here, which is like
that's fun though.
That was really fun. Yeah. But even the rap battle, it's like I ended up having to be so mean to win.
Yeah.
And I did. I won.
Yeah.
But the guy that I took down is my friend. And the next few times I saw him, I won't lie to you, it was a little weird.
Exactly.
Because it's like,
because you know it's jokes, but it came from somewhere.
Exactly. We both no, that is not all, you know, jokes start in
There's
truth.
There's a little truth
my,
in that. Yeah.
My uncle asked for his 70th birthday that everybody roast him.
Oh, God.
No.
Yeah, and so we did. We did do it, and during the roast, my cousin was in the audience, and she wrote a book on like sex education. She's like a sex therapist.
Ooh.
And now she's retired and she has children. And so I said my favorite roast joke that I've ever said on stage, where I said, hey, my cousin used to be a sex therapist, but now she's got kids. She's actually writing a new book. The book's called One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, I Blew a Fish.
That's pretty funny.
No one laughed.
Really? I like it.
It made me so happy. Matt Walker was there. He wrote all the roast jokes for me and my sister for the night.
Hilarious.
And he sat in the background and he watched everyone else. But that comedian, our dear friend Matt Walker, wrote the meanest roast joke I've ever heard in my life, which was directed at a comedian that you know, Deborah, yeah, because he was on Last Comic with you and me. His name was Dante.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So Dante had just cheated on his wife, who he has a kid,
yes,
too, right? So he cheated on his wife and his kid with, this is fine, everyone knows this. Cheated on his wife and his kid with a female comic that he's been with ever since.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so anyways, what happened was Matt wrote this. We were doing a roast, like one of these shitty roasts in the valley, and Dante was there, and his daughter's name is Willow, okay? And so Matt said, hey, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but 99% of all strippers, 99% of all porn stars come from broken homes. So Dante, don't be surprised if in 10 years from now, your daughter is on the set of Willow's Anal Adventure 3 and the guy says to her, hey, who's your daddy? And she goes, I don't know.
Oh, shit.
And he threw his beer down, broke it, and stormed out of the club.
No way.
And I've never heard a joke that was that, like right,
cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded.
That's
where
what
like
I'm
deep,
saying.
Yeah,
like
cold-blooded.
It's like, why
yeah,
do
like,
it?
But that wasn't that.
Yeah,
like,
but he's good at
wasn't
it.
Wasn't that how Amy Schumer really got her start, though? Mm. When she did, who was it? What's his face? From, he had just passed away from... Do you remember from Johnny Knoxville? His thank you. Yep. He just passed away, and she threw down. But that was one of the first things that launched her.
That's
dude, if
true.
You can do it,
it
if you can do it
and pull it off.
Yeah, if you can
it's
pull
a little
it off.
Different when you're roasting a celebrity.
Yes,
I feel
true.
Because you're roasting
you know
their
what?
Brand.
Yes.
It's like roasting a character.
That's
almost,
exactly it.
You know?
It's a very funny thing because in Canada, I worked on a show where on our music network, and all we did was make fun of music videos.
Right.
And people used to be like, you know, how can you do that? It's like they're billionaires. They don't care.
Yeah, it's
at
different.
That point, it's like it's just good press. You're talking about it. When it's a comic that you work with and you know, and we're all still struggling. That's when it's like,
it's about the time that it takes too. Because here's the thing: if I'm gonna like when I did the Elvis, I roasted Elvis. Okay, right. I'm like, first of all, it's
that's
fucking
fun.
Elvis.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Good.
Like, no one gives a fuck if you make fun of Elvis. Secondly, it was on Nerd Melt, so I knew a lot of people would hear it. But my thing is, it's like to sit around; it's a lot of work to write funny. I mean, you got to write to do that.
You can't really practice it anywhere, right? I mean, that's the thing too.
Exactly, and it's like, how much of your time do you want to waste writing jokes about someone no one's ever heard of when you could be writing jokes you can actually
use them
again. Forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. You know, we've gotten off topic here.
Yeah, I know. Let's go back.
So, Deb.
Are you seeing anyone right now?
No.
When's the last time you were in
It's been a long time since I've had like a solid relationship boyfriend. Like since, it's been a long time. Oh, I don't even want to do the math. It's terrifying. Like, honestly, like, I've had some sort of, like, ex-boyfriend sort of, like, revisitation in my comedy career. But, like, probably about 3 years into comedy, I haven't had a boyfriend since.
It's so hard to have one.
It is.
Comedy
you know what
is
else
your boyfriend.
But thank you for saying that. Because I know that people, a lot of people, like, oh, you use that as an excuse. No, at the beginning, I made the decision that I was like, all I want to do is this. And it was like, blinders on, go, 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 go. And then you look up, and it's been 7 years. years that you started doing comedy and you're going, and you, and then you kind of look around and go, oh, oops, I would like to have a life now too. And yeah, so I'm kind of in that position because it was really, that was really it for me. It was just like, I had to throw myself into it. And, you know, you work during the day and you go out every single night and that was it.
There's no time.
Yeah. And then somewhere, and then honestly, and then somewhere along the way you look up and realize, oh, wow, I've, wow. Now I know what I'm doing in comedy. So now it's kind of like, okay, let's look for a husband and a dog kind of thing now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but it's, yeah, it is weird because it's the same thing as like if you left comedy for 7 years, it's hard to get back in. So now my brain goes, how do you go back to dating again?
Right.
Also. Well, and do you date online? Do you find that weird? Because now your personality and it's like,
it's very weird.
I find that weird.
It's very difficult.
Yeah. But you know what? It also gives you, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but it also gives you credibility right away.
Yeah.
Like if you're on a dating app and somebody sees you and they go, oh, I know her. Yeah. She's a comedian.
Yeah.
They go, well, maybe it's easier because then at least they have some, they know you're not just some sort of whack job.
I think it's different though for guys. Cause I think if a girl looks you up and sees like, oh, comedian, actor, like that's, he works and he's successful and all these girls want to be with him. So I want to be with him. Like it's different. But for women, guys see that and their instant reaction is like, oh, well, I have to be the funny one in the relationship, so I'm going to try really hard to be funny with this one. And then they go too far trying to be funny.
Because, you know, I'm sure you do too, hang out with mostly guys, right? Like most of my pals are dudes. So, and it's funny because when my pals like talk about who they think I'll date, the first thing they always go, he'll be really quiet. And I'm like, okay, thank you. So that's my number one attribute in a man. Silent. He's a silent man.
He's a mute.
You'll be the one talking.
He's a mime. Go to Griffith Park.
I would never. No.
Right? But also as a girl. Cause
the
I think,
robot guy.
Right, exactly. Oh,
no. One of the statues, a gold statue. Oh, no. Exactly. But he can dance.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I mean, but also like women are sensitive as well. Not that guys aren't, but we wear it on our sleeve, I think, a little more. So like there's a part of me when I start dating someone, I start filtering like my posts. I don't even want to, but you can't help
it. You're censoring yourself. And it's like, and that's no good either.
Like just yesterday, I was telling, Quickman knows, but I've been in this weird, like long distance talking thing with this guy that we've never even met in person, but we met online and we started talking and we've literally talked every day or FaceTimed every day for like two and a half months, but we've never met in person.
Where is he?
He lives on the East Coast and he has a job where he hasn't been able to get out here. And so like now it's coming to the point where it's like shit or get off the pot time. Like if we don't meet soon, like it's going to be.
I know. Then it turns into, I don't know what. Then you're just like pen pals or something.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's what it's turning into. Yeah. But like just the other day, I posted this joke where I said like, lately I'm really into online dating exclusively, as in I never actually meet them.
Yeah.
Like I'm literally only dating them online. Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, in person at all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But even that joke, like I was like, that's a funny joke and I want to post it. But then I knew that he would see it and it would probably piss him off. And then right away in my brain, I'm like, fuck, as soon as I start liking someone, I care too much about what they think.
Well, that's where we are now too. Cause I mean, don't you find that like you see somebody and you know exactly what they've been doing, even though you haven't seen them in 3 weeks, but you saw what they did on Instagram.
I hate it.
So you're like, how was Hawaii? You know, I didn't tell you I went to Hawaii. I know that. So that makes dating even harder because there's no lying. You can't lie anymore. Where were you? I saw you on Instagram. I mean, there's no.
It's awful.
You know what else is great too, is you can use it the other way.
Yes.
You can tell people, hey, I'm going away for a while. I'm in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And then post a bunch of pictures in Hawaii. Yeah. Look at the sunset.
And there's your proof.
And then people, you can totally go the other way and be like,
so it's devious all along. It's deviant all along.
But the thing I hate about social media too is that, like, I don't know if guys even notice this shit. Okay, the other day I blocked a guy I've been talking to on Facebook, not because of anything that he really did wrong exactly, but I hate on Facebook how when you, because we Facebook message back and forth, I hate on Facebook that you can see when someone's active, because then what happens is if I send you a message, even if you haven't read it yet, but it says he was active five minutes ago, and then I'm like, that motherfucker is on there and ignoring my message.
I actually hate that too.
Right?
when it's been like it's been seen 4 days ago, you haven't responded. I know that you saw it.
Yeah,
that's bad. I know it's bad.
It's even asking
for fights.
And even like the scene thing is like one thing, but like for me, I'll even notice like in Messenger, it'll say he was active or active now, and then I'm like that. Fucker.
Yeah.
So I just blocked him on Facebook. So it was making me crazy. And that way I don't know if I text you and you don't answer, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. Yeah. I don't want to know, but I blocked him. And then he of course like lost his mind because I blocked him. And then he's like, why did you block me? And then I couldn't tell
him. Like, I'm trying to save our relationship is what I'm trying to do here.
I couldn't tell him I blocked you because I'm a crazy person and I'm stalking you.
That's the thing. Stalking is too easy now. Like in the olden days when it took effort and you had to leave your house and stuff, but now it's just
drive
like,
by the person's house.
Oh, right?
Now you just watch it on GPS.
Right by on your bike.
Oh, I hate it. I think that if you're dating someone, you should not be friends on any social media.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
That's actually probably a good idea.
It's the only way.
You know, I wanted to say this about being comics and, you know, obviously being female comics, but I never understand, like, we make good girlfriends. We're never home.
We're amazing,
like,
girlfriends.
That's what I understand. Like, we're hardly here. You see us maybe once a week.
We're so
and
easy
then you're
to cheat
free.
On.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. We will never catch you. We'll never catch you.
Just keep your mouth shut and you're going to be fine, right?
It's so true.
But it's true. I always have that. I don't understand. I'm like, you. None of you want to be committed. Hello? Like, what? We can see each other 3 times a month.
You're so right. Honestly, like, all a guy has to do to keep me on the line, it's very simple. Once or twice a day, send me a text like, how's your day?
Yeah.
And act like you care. Even
Winky
if you don't,
face.
Just act like you give a fuck. Or like, you look great.
Put
send
it
you
on
a
timer
you
on
great.
Your phone or something.
That's it. Yeah. And then fuck me good once a week. Yeah. That's all you got to do. Like,
exactly.
That's all I need.
That's
then
it.
You're free. There we go. That's the formula right there.
That's the formula, folks. And
two texts a day, one good fuck a week. Two good fucks a week, and you're like,
and we're married. And now we're married. Yeah, that's
send
engagement.
Your headshot and resume to
that's
the Hollywood Improv. Care of
what is your type though? What's
Kate.
Your favorite type? Like if you had to choose, like your favorite perfect.
If I had to choose my favorite perfect, is I like athletic guys, I like muscly guys, tattoos.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and I love my favorite kind of guy is a guy who's like a former bad, like a bad boy, but with a sweet side.
Oh, yeah.
Like a guy that's been like maybe been into some trouble, like maybe
trouble,
has
but now
a past.
He's seen the light.
Yeah. But now
a home,
he's seen
a
the
homeless
light.
Guy that found a house.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I tend toward...
A guy who got out of prison but for a very light violent crime.
Okay.
You know, one of those guys.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I tend toward athletes, but I'm trying to change that and because they're I like dating guys that are dumber than me. Because it's just easy. They're like easy to manipulate.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I'm trying to what about you? Let's talk about your type.
Yeah,
enough
dude.
About me.
What's your type?
I have that stupid type where my friends love to make fun of me because it's true. I just... You know what you like when you're a kid, you grow up liking it. And I still like dudes that look like Jesus. I like full beards.
What?
I love big beards. I like shaggy. I really do. I love dudes. I love skinny guys.
Really?
And I know it's wrong, but I just do.
Wrong.
I love
great.
It. Oh, it's my favorite.
Like, so Seattle guys?
Oh my God. Like, yeah, you know where? Oregon? Like I went to Portland. I almost like, I hurt my neck from all the ogling. Like I just was like, I love you. Oh, like that's it.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I really do. I look gorgeous as gorgeous as gorgeous, but I'm very much like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm
my
with
friends
you
constantly
on the scruffy.
Tease. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Scruffy.
I'm so happy with beards. I'm so glad that beards are here and everyone's mad at beards. I'm like,
I have beards.
You. Beards are the greatest thing. I like men in their natural state.
So
that's
do I.
What I, like.
I don't like them too pretty.
Me neither. We'll take some pretty, but Jesus, like, I just, it's my favorite.
Medium
my favorite.
Are you guys ball shaved or no shaved balls?
I thought you were talking bald head.
No. No, do you guys like it? You guys shave your balls?
I don't like hairy balls.
Should it be a forest or just
ew.
A
can
nice...
Can we go halfway on that too?
Like, halfway?
You know?
Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
A light trim.
A mode wand.
Yes, exactly. A light trim. Manicured is
manicured.
What we like to say.
Putting green.
There you go. Putting green's not bad.
Putting green. Not like a swamp, like a putting green. That's
right.
Exactly
yeah,
it.
No, that's a swamp. Yeah. Oh, God.
That's
no, that
damp, too.
Yeah, that sounds
awful.
Terrible.
I'm okay with a little hair like that.
Yeah. I think when I was younger, it was like, no, totally smooth, but I'm okay with hair. I'm okay with some hair.
What are those trees that the Asian men do? What are those trees called?
Bonsai?
Yeah, I got a bonsai down there. It's just Jesus. Bonsai.
A lot of work. You
There's
took a lot
one
of work.
Tree.
That's so funny.
He's been clipped.
I talked to...
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
He's medicated.
I'm on a lot Please of drugs medicated. Today.
I was just talking about this the other night, though. This is definitely like a bit that I'm working on, yeah. But how like the older you get, the more you start to be cool with things that you always God, said yes. you'd never do.
Absolutely.
You're, like you just said, when I was younger, it had to be smooth. Like I used to be like, here's a perfect example. I used to be like, I would never date a guy who smokes.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck how hot he is. I don't care who he is. Now, the last couple guys I've dated smoke. I'm like, yeah.
And you're like, open a window. That's it, yeah, babe. Exactly. Just open a window, babe. Like,
Honestly, I mean, it's to the point where I would make sacrifices just if they're decent yes. and they have a job.
Well, that's the thing. Are you kind? Are you nice to your dog?
Yeah, yeah, good deal.
Like, I thought I would never, this guy I've been talking to, oh my God, he hunts. Like animals, like shoot.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm so against. It's not that I'm against hunting. I'm like real outdoorsy, yeah. And I like I could never shoot an animal.
Interesting.
So that like would be a massive turnoff for me normally. But with this guy, I'm kind of like, eh. The worst thing he does is kill animals. Like, that's kind of like a big yeah.
The worst thing he does is shoot animals in their damn faces.
Deers just shoot Bambi. He just kills Bambi.
I know. I don't know if I can work with
that. I
don't
know. That's,
a tricky
That's
one.
A weird one. It
it's
is.
It's hard, right?
Yeah, because it's
Where
like,
is he from?
From the South.
Oh, God. Really?
I know.
Oh my, God.
My friend keeps sending me photos. It's so funny. My friends and I, we screen grab our conversations with guys and send them back and forth. And I sent her this thing he sent me about like how he wants to take me hunting. He wants to take me to deer camp, he called it.
Oh, so, Jesus.
Oh, no. Do not go. Please do not go.
He's a cast member on Real World Dallas.
Oh, no. I kind of want to go just to get an in a bikini photo of me hunting.
Okay. No. Okay. But then leave immediately after
then
that.
No, get not out shoot of there. Anything. But not shoot anything.
You're out of your
but my
damn
friend keeps,
mind.
My friend keeps sending me photos of her girlfriend, who is actually like this cute blonde who ended up marrying a hunter. And now she's 45, and she always sends my friend Carrie these photos of her out hunting, and she's in like full camo gear with like an orange vest.
Oh,
and
God.
Carrie's like, this is your future.
This is it. This is it. It's a slippery slope. It's a See, my yeah. sister dated yes. a hunter
really?
When we were youngsters, but like when we were in like college, she dated a hunter, and it was always, because it was that thing of like, oh, so he shoots, but it was, he did it like they ate what they killed.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Too.
So, you know, it's kind of like he never, it's a tricky one. I don't know what to say.
But there's part of me too that yeah. worries about the kind of person that can't
I know that
shoot
yes,
an
that's
animal.
The, okay, yeah. The
if
personality
you can shoot
traits.
An animal,
yeah.
what's missing?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't think I could actually, yeah. unless I was
unless
starving.
It was like fucking charging you or something.
Right.
I
yeah.
mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, it's
yeah,
like,
that's a good one.
You know what? Here's how mm-hmm. I feel about
yeah.
it. Here's how I feel. Here's how I feel, because this is America. You know,
okay. You're so fucking stoned.
No. This is how
okay,
I feel about
go.
You.
Oh
this is how I feel.
Okay,
okay.
Go.
You want to have guns? You want to go out and shoot animals and shit? Go. Fucking shoot them up. Fine. You want to go shoot animals? Shoot them up.
Yeah.
Fine. Wear your camouflage. But guess what? That's you have to eat that fucking animal. And guess what else? You're not allowed to have. You're not allowed to have fucking. A computer.
Oh.
You're not allowed to have a fucking telephone. You can have one of those old rotary phones. You have to live. You can't live in an apartment somewhere. You can't live in the middle of the world. You have to live in a shack. You build yourself.
Oh okay. my God.
You have to build your own fireplace. If you want to live off the land of the world, you better fucking live complete. I don't want to hear you driving a fucking car that you didn't make yourself.
Well, so you have to be
shit.
Amish then, is what
yeah.
you're saying.
Yeah.
You make your own shit.
But
if that's what your fucking deal is.
But what do
you
think about the argument that there's like certain animals that there are too many of, like rabbits in certain states and shit?
When's the last time you heard rabbits ruining a state? Rabbits aren't ruining
shit. I
mean,
I don't read Hunting Digest, so
no.
I don't know.
Look, the only reason that there are so many
overrun
of
by bunnies.
Yeah,
that would be
there's
the actually
only
terrifying.
Reason that they're like,
terrifying.
Oh,
right?
That's that.
The town
are...
I grew up in was overrun by groundhogs.
So what? People are getting out of their hunting gear and killing groundhogs?
Yeah, people are shooting them.
Fuck groundhogs, man. I'll kill a groundhog. I don't give a shit.
Okay, so now it's like it depends on the animal. Like if it's a cute enough animal, don't shoot it.
If you're going hunting because you're going, it's like a family tradition. You go into the woods and you go shoot a deer in the fucking face and you blow its head off.
Oh my God.
And then you cut it up and you eat the deer food. Good for you. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But you better be not driving in a car on your way out there. You better be riding a bicycle you made yourself.
And also, like, once I got blown off for a date by a guy because he was going hunting.
Oh, come on.
And I'm like, you'd really rather hunt an animal than hunt this pussy?
Yeah, come on. Date fails. If you think this is Wildlife Forum, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, back to dating.
However, though, I did see, I did, when me and my girlfriend went back to Michigan, we went to her friend's house and he had killed a bear because the bear was killing his chickens in the backyard because they were going, a giant bear!
Just scooping chickens.
Deborah,
just scooping chickens out.
Ripping the fucking cage open, eating the damn chickens.
Oh, I'd do anything to see that.
Killed it, and the bear was huge, by the way, and he was keeping it frozen, the dead bear, in his garage in a giant massive freezer.
Oh my God.
Like this, it was like half the size of this table.
Why was he keeping it frozen?
Just to show people.
And he pulled the bear's head out. And he was like, look how big this fucking... I was like, I'm seeing a dead bear right up close. It was scary as shit.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You have to kill a bear every once in a while. Like, I don't have a problem with that either. I think that's fine. But guys, if you're just running out in the woods to go kill deer so that you can go eat the deers.
But do we eat deers? Like, deers are popular meat? Is that
people
what it is?
People do.
There are places.
Some people.
Like, okay, it's not like people are shooting chickens or cows. Or
I'm
something.
Okay chickens. With shooting chickens, just because they're gross.
And they're really good. They're super
all right,
good.
Well, I'm glad we had this talk about hunting. I feel like we've covered
Join
the gamut.
On.
Well, who was the, when you were growing up, what was the guy that, was there a guy, was there a first guy? Did you have like a first guy, a first crush or a first person?
Like real life or like a celebrity kind of?
No, in real life. Well,
I'm going to age myself. I was Duran Duran until like I couldn't take it anymore. I love John Taylor from Duran Duran so much. Like it was insanity. Like my mother should have put me into a mental institution. I was insane. Like for his birthday once, I bought an ad in the Tilsonburg newspaper to wish John Taylor from England from Duran Duran happy birthday because I'm sure he was reading the Tilsonburg news, which only was published twice a week, by the way. But I'm sure he caught it because he was, you know, loved.
What's his first? What's his name?
John Taylor.
I wonder what he looks like now.
Yeah,
is he still
actually,
alive?
I gotta tell you, they're not bad. Not bad. You know what? He married the woman that started Lululemon.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, he is hot.
Yeah.
He's hot.
Yeah, he's not bad. And my first crush, though, was Scott DeCluett. Oh, yeah. The boy from grade, I think I was in grade like 6 or something.
What's he from?
Scott DeCluett. He was just a kid in my
class.
No,
that's her crush.
Freckle-faced, adorable. He was so cute. And I remember my friend Kelly Heckford dated him and used to tell us about how he could kiss and stuff. She'd be like, well, he's a good kisser. We're like, why are you telling us? She knew we loved him, but anyway.
How old were you when you had your first kiss?
Almost 13.
13.
I was almost 13. Like, I think it was like my birthday was in like 3 weeks.
I was 13 also.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I was just home for Christmas and my 12-year-old nephew has his first girlfriend. Yeah, and they went on a date to the rolling rink.
Oh, wow.
My parents dropped him off the rolling rink to meet up with this girl, and he bought her necklace for Christmas. But I'm just like, holy shit, 12?
I was going to say, I have to say, like, I'm a generation where we didn't date that young.
No,
like, we really didn't.
Me
it was
either.
Like 13, 14 is when you started having your first boyfriends, but like not 10, because now it's like they have boyfriends at 10.
It's crazy,
and
right?
Yeah, that wasn't, yeah, I don't like
10,
that.
10 no. still seems like a child to me.
It
doesn't
is.
Doesn't it? Shouldn't it?
Yes.
Even 12,
even
Jesus.
12 is so weird to me. Like, my first kiss at 13.
Teen.
I still
remember.
The word
teen is there. It's
good.
You know?
I remember my first kiss was outside of my friend's house, and the kid was 13, and there was a group of us out there, and they were, like, we were boyfriend, girlfriend, so all my friends were like, you guys have to kiss, you have to kiss, you have to kiss. It was like a peer pressure situation.
Oh, my God.
And I still remember we kissed. It was the most awkward kiss, and then my friends were like, no, you have to French kiss. Oh. You have to kiss with tongue.
Oh.
Yeah. And I didn't even know what a French kiss was. I was like, what the fuck do you mean kiss with tongue?
Oh, no.
So then they were like, you have to put your tongues together. So we both leaned in, stuck our tongues out, and just like swished our tongues around in midair. Didn't even touch lips. That's my first French kiss.
Oh, wait, how old were you?
13.
Oh my God. Same thing. 13 years old. First rim job. Now let me tell you what happened.
He switched his tongue around.
He switched his tongue around.
Goodman, why do you have to always turn it dirty? It's so dirty.
I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening.
Do you have any really awful date stories, like the worst date you've ever been on, or like the worst sexual experience, just something cringeworthy?
I had a short-term boyfriend for a while that I was like, okay, he drinks too much. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, whatever, but I knew that he drank too much. And one time he was so drunk that he got up in the middle of the night and took a piss in my closet. And he was, because he thought he was going, he was in the bathroom. Like, he thought he was just, and he was so drunk. And I was just screaming at him, oh my God, I wanted to get my shoes out of the way, but the stream was too strong. It was awful. And then, the worst part, I couldn't get in there. And then the worst part, of course, is I dated him for like another 2 months after that.
Oh,
like a jackass.
I would too.
I know, right?
It's okay. I would
too. He was cute.
You know?
Oh, no.
Sex was good.
But seriously, it's hard to get excited after you've watched dude piss in your closet. But anyway.
2 more months after. Did you make him pay for the shoes?
It was the next morning was the worst conversation I've ever had in my life.
Well, yeah.
Because it was just like he woke up and he knew something had happened. And I was like, yeah, that smell, that's you.
Wow.
Yeah. But I've heard of people that like, I've been with someone who like pisses the bed when they're in it. And I'm like, what? Have you ever heard those stories?
Yeah.
People like with drunk, you know, someone's too drunk and they, oh.
We had a guy on our podcast, Joey Chestnut, the world's most famous food eater. He's won like, he's eaten like, I don't know. He wins all those food eating contests. And he told a story about he shit the pants in a girl's bed.
Oh, God.
After a food eating contest, he went home with a girl and he shit all over her apartment. He shit in her bed. Then he shit on the way to the toilet.
Oh my God.
He loves that story.
That's a bad story. On New Year's,
Trainspotting. Remember that?
On Christmas Eve, I had 104.5 fever.
Oh Jesus!
In Las Vegas from food poisoning.
Uh-huh. When was this?
Right after me and Rachel started seeing each other. We're 4 years together now. But this was 2 years in.
Oh no!
And on Christmas Eve in Vegas. She was out of the room and I shit my pants.
Oh no.
You shit your pants.
Yeah. I farted. I shit my pants.
This is the worst fucking.
Not sexual.
No. And then I ran into the bathroom and then threw up for like 6 hours straight. And then they were like, you have to go to the hospital.
You're going to die.
She stayed with him for 4 years.
There's something about when you're already in a relationship, when that happens, then there's like sympathy. But when you just started dating someone, then you're like, no. It's like if you already, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she didn't see me shit my pants.
That's good.
I don't know how
you get romantic after that ever again.
I don't think you could.
What is the worst date you've ever, I need to know. What is the worst, weirdest date you've been on?
The worst date? Yeah. Well, I've told it on here, but the long story short is a guy took me to McDonald's. He asked me out for drinks. He met me at a bar. Then he told me the bar was too expensive and he doesn't drink and asked if we could go somewhere cheaper. Took me to McDonald's.
Oh my God.
Bought himself a burger. Or no, French fries and like a sundae,
oh
an ice cream sundae. And then he put it in his man purse and took me back to the bar. He snuck his food into the bar.
No!
Yeah, and then he ate it at the bar while I ordered a cocktail that he did not pay for.
Oh my God.
But the worst part of the whole date is he ordered a half Coke, half Diet Coke, which makes me feel like something is off with him.
I want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, immediately there's something wrong with him.
I once dated an energy healer. What?
Oh, God.
And I didn't know he was an energy healer until like we were on the date and I was like, what the hell does that mean? And then he started doing like, put your hand in a fist and all right. And it was so creepy. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. Like it was just, I could, like, God bless you, energy healing. If that's what you do, good for you. It was so It turned my stomach. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, he was just everything, and it was too soft, and everything was, you know
very
what I mean?
Effeminate.
Oh, and
I don't
was just like
that.
I gotta go.
You're
I gotta
like me,
go.
Though. You have a lot of masculine energy.
I do have a lot of masculine energy. Absolutely.
So you probably need a really masculine guy.
I was gonna say, so that's, and as, I think sometimes when you do have masculine energy, feminine energy likes you. Do you know what I mean? And so, and God bless. I got no problem with it. But this was just, it was creepy. And he just, you know, he believed it so much. And then I realized, and I had that moment, I was like, are you wearing like a beaded necklace? I hadn't seen that before. And then I was just, I would have never said yes if I had known about the shell necklace. Come on, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
It's like it's like this guy that I've been talking to the other day posted a photo, and in his photo, he was wearing like gold chains.
Oh, no.
And I was instantly like, damn it.
Oh, no.
I can't date him now.
Once my best friend phoned me from a date, and this she said, this is a long time ago. She phoned me from a date panicking, and she was like, he's wearing cowboy boots. I was like, leave immediately. What do I do? And I was like, get out of there. I mean, it was just, what do
I do? My God, it's so funny.
It was, anyway.
I'm trying to think of other...
There's never a time where that's necessary you're riding a horse.
Unless you're riding a horse. You know what I mean? I mean, girls can pull off cowboy boots, but boys can't.
Do you do this thing where you screen grab your conversations with guys?
I should.
Send them
I have
to. Your
girlfriends? No, I will, though. I will start immediately.
I just wonder if guys realize how much intimate detail women share with each other about men, because like I have a few girlfriends that literally I just screen grab conversations and just ship them out. I accidentally, oh my God, I got a date with this guy I was so excited to go out with. I was like stalking him for months. He's a celebrity.
Ooh.
And I never do this, but I was like kind of stalking him. I was like, I have to find a way to meet this guy and go out. So I finally got a date with him, and when he said he would go out with me, I screen grabbed it to send to my girlfriend, and I accidentally sent it to him.
Oh no.
I accidentally sent it to him, and then the second I sent it to him, I was like, oh my god, what do I do? So really quickly I followed up and I said, LOL, so sorry, meant to send that to my assistant who handles my calendar.
Oh my god.
But it was like obvious bullshit.
Did you still go on the date?
Yeah. Thank God, guys, if they want to fuck you,
I was gonna say they don't care.
Yeah, they just don't give a shit.
They really don't care.
They're like, I'm in.
Oh no. Oh yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I know way too much details about, you know, all my dude's girlfriends
of course.
And stuff. Oh, way too much.
I've like gone out with a girl, or like said, hey, let's go out. We've texted each other and been like, so what's up for tonight? And like, I'll make a funny joke. And then fucking 5 minutes later, I go on Facebook and she's posted it on Facebook to show her friends, or she posted it on Twitter or on Instagram.
Are you serious?
And was like, oh my god, Glickman's so funny, da, 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 da. How funny is he?
Oh, I would never do
and
that.
And I was like, guess who's not going out with you tonight? Me.
Like, you and I have had funny text threads before, and I'll always be like, can I post
this? Because we're
who
friends.
Just posts something without asking?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a fine line, right? It's like, you can privately, sure, but to everyone else, it's
you know what is a super weird thing that's happening right now with dating and shit,
what?
And women,
what?
And
what?
People and guys and life and stuff,
yes,
and
Doug
Obama fucking
world peace,
uh-huh. World peace, uh-huh. Recycling. Uh-huh. You know what is when your phone rings, uh-huh. And you go answer, and then a picture pops up and it's person, and they're like, hey, how's it going? Good to see you.
Oh, the video calls.
Yeah. That happens now, I guess. That's now like a thing everywhere.
My Android phone even has that.
Yeah,
now.
I don't want that.
I don't like that either. There's that guy, that long distance dude that I was talking to. He always would like FaceTime me at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, if you haven't seen me naked, you should not see me without makeup. I have to trap you with this vagina first. Okay.
Hilarious.
It's true. I feel like the vagina
there's an
is
order.
The trap.
Yeah, there's an order of things here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
but yeah, I don't want that. I need to give me a couple minutes before I know
that
we're going to be. Yeah, give me a second or two.
How about a heads up?
Yeah, exactly. That's too
what
much.
If I'm taking a shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's like way too Jetsons.
Yeah.
That's way too Jetsons.
It's not okay.
No, you need to have a pretext to
oh, God, yeah.
Can
although,
you
do you know what
FaceTime?
My favorite thing is, though, right now? I just think it's so great when now we text each other to ask if we can call.
That's
can
so
I,
funny.
Can I call you?
Is this a good time?
Exactly.
You could have called
I love that. I just think that's so funny.
I do that to you.
Me too, so
why could you do this through text? You're like, because
exactly.
I don't want to, my fingers are bored.
You know what that is, right? It's like we've gotten to this point where our fear of rejection, everyone's fear of rejection is so fucking bad. You don't even want to make a call where they don't pick up. So you'd rather send a text where it's like,
is this a good time to call? I know. Wow. Anyway.
But when your phone rings, I thought you were just going to say what's crazy with dating now is when your phone rings and there's someone there.
Period.
Like someone called you.
Just
period.
Your phone ringing.
That's it. Yeah. Guys don't understand now, like, because guys call so rarely that if you call, it's almost like you're saying something serious with a phone call. Like,
I find that now when my phone rings, I answer it. I don't say hello. I just say, what's wrong? Are you okay? What's happened? Are you okay?
Are you? You know what I mean? That's hilarious.
Are you at the bottom of a well? What's happening? You know, that kind of.
So
it's just you,
funny.
You know.
This was too fun.
Yeah.
I could talk to you forever. You have to come back. We have to have you back again.
Yes, please. Yes,
this
please.
Was great.
Yeah. No, that was,
right?
That's wonderful.
We went an hour and I don't want to stop.
I know.
It's like we had great sex.
Yeah.
We should go on date too.
Exactly. Oh, I'm going to definitely hook up for date.
What's
two.
Happening Sweet. With you in the future? What do you have coming up in your life?
I have this fantastic show at The Lyric on the 19th.
What?
It's so great. With Glickman and Randy and everybody. It's going to be great. And I have, I did last night. I did the Put Your Hands Together 3rd anniversary at UCB. Fantastic.
Super
fantastic.
Fun. Super
rammed
fun.
Room. Like it was just, you know, it was just one of those crowds. You're like, if comedy was always like this, oh my God, we would all be happy all the time. Yeah, it was terrific. So yeah, I'm just around town.
What's your Twitter, Instagram?
I'm so stupid. My Twitter is my full name, Deborah DiGiovanni. So figure that out and then find me on Twitter. And on Instagram, it's Deborah DG.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, take a photo. I'll post it on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And this was super fun.
Super fun.
Thank you so much. I'm Kate Quigley. You guys can find me at Kate Q Funny.
I'm Steven Glickman. I'm on a bunch of drugs because my teeth.
Oh, he's
are
at
broken.
Steven Glickman with a PH.
With a PH, like PH balance
right.
for your hair.
And we're done. Love you.
Bye,
everybody.